103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! L.A. will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime! 26-23, it's over, and the Superdome is silent.
Saints fans, do not throw anything from your seat.
Speechless is the word right now.
Waddle checks in, an extra tackle.
It's all your bigs.
Devlin is in. Burkhead.
Allen.
Behind him. Allen to the left, along with Gronkowski. Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester on a new microphone, and with me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. I hear you were rolling. I was on Twitter, it sounded like you rolled 7 straight strikes recently.
Yeah, so, I'm not, I think we've discussed on the podcast before, I bowl like once or twice a year. I'm not exactly a bowler. I'm not very good. My goal is like, if I need to break 100, obviously. If I break 120, it's a great game. And we were bowling, and I was really excited because my 2-year-old son, who's sort of like your youngest, is by far the best athlete of the group. Mm-hmm. So he out-bowled both of his older brothers and his mother.
Was he using regular bumpers?
Well, he and his brother, yeah, they're all using the same bumpers.
Were you using bumpers?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a child.
Oh, well, but some of them it's like yes or no. Some of them you can't just turn
it
off.
Can't go up or down.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not the point here. So the point here is my son is out bowling his younger brothers. I'm very excited for him.
Wait, he beat his mom? That's embarrassing also.
Yeah. She was using bumpers, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I was really excited, and I take a picture of the board to commemorate the fact that my 2-year-old dominated his older brothers and his mom. And my youngest son had his birthday party, or my oldest son had his birthday party at a bowling alley about a week ago, or exactly a week ago. And he was very into, I told him the concept of 3 straight strikes is called a turkey.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten a turkey before, but I told him that if you get it, then it shows up on the board and it's very exciting. So anyway, right at the end of the game, in the 8th and 9th frames, I get 2 strikes. But I don't think anything of it because, I wasn't, one of the frames I rolled backwards, I was sort of messing around with my kids. I wasn't, and then all of a sudden I come up for the 10th frame and I get the turkey and my son starts going nuts. And then, you get the extra roll, I get a strike, and then you get the extra roll, I get a strike. So I end with 5 straight strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So then we start another game and then I start with 2 more strikes. So, which is insane because I never got 3 in a row and I got 7 in a row.
That is crazy.
And this is actually a good parents' corner. My oldest son was so proud of me. It was actually really sweet. That he ran up to the front desk and told the people at the front desk, and he started running from lane to lane telling everybody about what his daddy had just done.
That was cute. Funny. What was your final score of the one with the 5?
The 163.
You got a 163 with 5 straight strikes. Well, I guess the ending with the strikes isn't so helpful.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was at 73 through 7 frames, and then I got strike.
And you've gotten a 200 before?
No, not even close. But this is by far my best game.
Oh, really? Oh, because I've hit 164 3 times. The exact same. My high I've hit 3 times. I've never got a 164.
Well, so if you get 7 consecutive strikes, that's like 178 right there.
Uh-huh.
Or no, 186. I forget what it is. But basically, if you get 7 straight strikes, you're guaranteed to get 200 in a game. But I'll never do that again, I'm sure.
It's really like anytime you get a strike, it's like, all right, I just need to do that again. And sometimes you can, but then when you lose it, you never get it back.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's the same as pitching. I don't know if you ever pitched in Little League.
No, I was never the pitcher.
Yeah, so you, I was not the pitcher, but I was the kind of guy who wanted to be the pitcher, so I got like a couple of chances.
Mm-hmm.
and you throw like a perfect, you know, a perfect fastball. You get a called strike, and you're like, all right, I just need to do that exact same thing. And then you do it the next time you hit the guy. So, yeah.
No, I would have been the last guy. I have a bad arm. I can't throw the ball fast. I was always the second baseman or the catcher as I got fatter.
Yeah. All right. So why did we? Because I said, how's it rolling?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's by now. It's you know, I wanted a podcast a couple days ago. You weren't available, and I wasn't available. By now, it's Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's almost too late to discuss, you know, the craziest day of football ever.
I mean, we could go over it, you know, quickly, but I don't think we're going to say anything.
Yeah, we still got to. Well, okay. So I have a little bit of a different take than everyone else's take. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the story that's being told is how incredible it is that, you know, it's a ninth Super Bowl for Belichick and Brady and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. You know, that Brady has made the Super Bowl more times than he has made the Super Bowl in his career, et cetera, et cetera. How amazing is Tom Brady? How amazing are the Patriots? That's been like the big narrative of the last 24, 36 hours.
Right.
I think we need to flip this on its head. I think the story shouldn't be how incredible it is that the Patriots made another Super Bowl. I think the story should be how disappointing the Patriots were for most of this season. In the preseason, I had them ranked number one in my power rankings. They were, according to Vegas, by far the Super Bowl favorite. Both of us said they were the Super Bowl favorite because even I think you had them number two in your power rankings behind the Eagles. But the NFC had the Eagles, the Vikings, the Saints, the Rams, the Falcons, the Packers. The AFC was trash. So everybody said the Patriots are the overwhelming likely favorite coming into the season to win the Super Bowl. And then what did they do through 16 games? They were plus 111 this year, plus minus. You know what they were in their six divisional games?
What?
Plus 110.
Yeah.
So basically they were a perfectly 500 team.
But they did
it
on purpose.
Team.
They pulled out just enough to win. They did not try. Gronk didn't try. You know, they didn't let
They didn't try. Oh, so they
it.
So they wanted to almost not have a bye?
Yes.
And have to win in week 17?
Yeah.
That's what they wanted,
listen,
really?
They
listen, wanted
they
to
were
be 11-5.
The craziest play the whole year away from being the one seed also, though. Like, they were closer.
Yeah, I mean,
they were closer to being the one seed than the three seed.
I mean, if you flip one play in either direction, they go from, you know. But anyways, the point is that, to me, the narrative should be the equivalent of if the Warriors this season had struggled all year, had gone like 49-33, had been a big disappointment, and then they sneak by getting quite lucky in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals over the Denver Nuggets, some upstart team who nobody thought of as a contender before the year. Like, that's what the narrative should be here. The Patriots had a disappointing season all year, and at the end of the year, just barely got into where they were supposed to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on. My son is crying. What happened?
Chester's wife is at the spa with her mom while Alex is watching all three kids and podcasting and probably working.
What happened? Who hit you? Aris hit you? Aris, come here.
Aris.
Toby hit you also?
Oh my God. You? Everyone's hitting him. They're tag teaming me on beating up this guy.
Anyway, so that's my narrative. I think the Patriots disappointed all year. And instead of us celebrating them, we should be admonishing them for... I mean, you know, they got very lucky, obviously, to win that game.
Yeah, I think you could make a strong case that the two better teams lost. I mean, certainly the quarterbacks, you know, that lost, you know, greatly outplayed the quarterbacks that won. I think if there was a third-place Chiefs-Saints game, I would be more excited about that than the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, and also Brady, obviously... Oh, my God. Yeah, so, you know, I have my power rankings that I update every week throughout the season, including during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I have New Orleans and Kansas City 1-2, and I have the Rams and the Patriots 3-4.
Yeah, those were clearly the four best teams. There's not, like, they were a step up from everybody else. But there was no difference between the four teams. But it just, you know, to me, the Saints are the best team in the NFL. Like, it's depressing that they're not in the Super Bowl. Yeah, but the Saints outplayed the Rams. The Chiefs didn't really outplay the Patriots.
Other than the first, you know, the first 15 minutes of the game when they got dominated, obviously. From that point forward, they badly outplayed the Patriots.
Well, you could say the same thing about the Rams then also.
Yeah, and the Patriots also, I mean, the Patriots did not have, or Tom Brady anyway, did not have a good game. The defense had a good game, obviously.
No, Brady
in the first
was
half,
bad.
The running
Brady
game
was, like,
game.
Objectively bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw three interceptions. Since the offsides by Ford, you know, had really no impact on the play, like, I give him an interception there.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was a free play, like, you know, Rodgers style. Like, he, you know, it's not clear that he even knew it was in offsides.
Mm.
So, yeah, so Brady, obviously, you have to give him credit for, you know, the converting all those third downs, you know, in the overtime. But it was the kind of game, especially the Chiefs of the four teams had the best offense and the worst defense. So the Chiefs are by far the least advantaged team by a system whereby if the first team gets the ball, you know, they get a touchdown, the game's over.
Yes.
So Brady's now 3-0 in overtime playoff games, and in all three games, the other team never touched the ball.
So he went through. By the way, it was pretty crazy on Simmons this week that he couldn't remember. They said the Patriots had only played two previous overtime playoff games, and obviously he remembered the Falcons one and this one. He could not remember the other one, which was the Tuck rule game, which he talked about 10 times,
which he had talked about earlier in that podcast.
Yeah. Bad job by him. And I'm shocked his moron nephew producer couldn't come up with it for the next hour of the podcast where I asked him to find it.
Yeah, that guy is not a nepotistic hire at all. He's he totally earned that position. But nephew Kyle. So you know, my take on the Patriots is a disappointing season. They should have been by far the best team in the AFC, and they sort of weaseled their way in, very lucky. Let's go over to the NFC for a second. Obviously, you know, the worst blown call in history. I was thinking a lot about the fact that if not for 2009, if Bounty Gate and the whole NFC Championship game in 2009 never happens, I would have been rooting so hard for the Saints because they sort of would fit every single rubric of what I normally root for in a team. First of all, it's like a cursed, you know, loser franchise that's never won anything. It's an all-time great player who's never won a title and needs that title on his capstone of his career. Like, and then compare it on the other side with the Rams, who don't have any real fans. It's a bunch of posers. Obviously, everyone saw the meme of, you know, a bunch of LA bars being completely indifferent to going to the Super Bowl. It just, I should have and I would have been rooting desperately for the Saints, but for the fact that in 2009 they cheated and they got into a Super Bowl they didn't deserve. And so, you know, it's comeuppance finally. You know, I mean, of course, the Rams are the beneficiaries, not the Vikings, so it's not really, you know, beneficial comeuppance for me. But the Saints, you know, I hate to say it, but they deserved it. And I posted this on Facebook, but Jerry Chester is even much angrier than me.
Yeah. Yes. Jerry Chester told you that he thought that Peyton and Williams should have been kicked out of the NFL for good in 2009, and they should still not be in the league. That's my defensive coordinator he's talking about.
Yeah. My dad says, I wish someone on a national level would address the irony of the Saints whining about their loss after what they did intentionally in 2009. So then I said to my dad, oh my God. Erez, you need a timeout. Stop crying like a baby. You're 6 years old. You can act like a man. He's not going to lose any of the pieces. It's right here. Tried to give him some Godfather-style love. Mm. Can act like a man. So my dad says, I wish someone on a national level would address the irony of the Saints whining about their loss after what they did intentionally in 2009. Because my dad, you know, he goes to the gym, he works out, he watches ESPN the whole time, and he doesn't see any discussion. So I said to my dad, is my podcast not on a national level? And my dad, who doesn't understand what a joke is, says, with all due respect, someone that reaches a big national audience.
All right, who's this kid talking in the background?
Did
you show him the penalty? Did you ask him if it was a penalty on Roby Coleman or whatever?
Yeah, but can we? Isn't it good in the long run? Because the consequence of this is going to be that they're going to allow reviews of pass interference.
No, but they're not going to allow reviews of prospective pass interference. So that's not going to help this call.
I mean, I'm sure they will.
No, they already said they will not. They already said they will. Like, they're not even considering it. The competition committee. They would consider taking away interference calls, but it would have to be called interference in the first place. They would not consider having a retroactive flag thrown for a judgment call. They've already said they won't.
And what about
what about
hits to the head, unnecessary roughness? For safety reasons though, should
yeah,
be
so that may
and
be,
that also in yeah. this specific case.
Yeah. I mean that would happen
now,
before.
Now it's very rare that applies to a pass interference. I mean Roby Coleman really went all out to guarantee himself a penalty mm-hmm. and still somehow didn't get one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to even make changes. People are too reactionary to, you know, if you weren't yelling for this a week ago, then what are you yelling for now? Like, let's let it breathe. All right, the referee made a
well.
Bad
and to
call,
be fair, Sean Payton and Belichick have been pushing for these plays to be reviewable for years.
I mean, you can't review everything without making the game 10 hours. Like the Rams Saints game happened to have flown by. If you notice, they weren't throwing flags the whole game. Did you notice that beforehand?
Akiva, I disagree with you because mm-hmm. you keep the same rules in place about how many reviews you have. You have two reviews per team until the last 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the balance of the game isn't going to take any longer.
Oh, right, because most games have four reviews, which in your way, every game would have four reviews.
Well, but then and then the other rule, which I don't understand why they don't do this, is what other sports do, which is a review is you get a buzz from New York where they have all the cameras and they just give you the ruling. The ref doesn't have to
hockey
jog
style.
Over and look in a little screen.
Hockey style.
Yeah, the ref on the field does not have to have any involvement
I agree.
In the decision.
They should centralize it even
makes
more.
Makes no sense. Yeah, and that would save half the time. The ref gets buzzed down from, you know, he has a little buzzer and he's told they're reviewing it in New York and then 30 seconds later, all right, the call's been reversed. And the ref doesn't have to do anything.
What's going to be the most annoying subplot for the next 2 weeks?
Well, it's going to be Brady and then Belichick and the Patriots, obviously.
It's just going to be Brady stuff?
Yeah, it's going to be nonstop Brady stuff.
Are you on board? Like, the Romo love went just... The Romo train is... a bandwagon is completely full. Like,
yeah.
The Romo love went, was insane.
His performance in the second half was better than the Chiefs' or the Rams' performances in the second half.
So, here's my take on Romo. The bad announcers... We both ranked announcers in the Facebook group last week. The bad announcers, the Chris Spielmans of the world, the Moose Johnstons... they try and poorly to do a bad John Madden impression, which is to try and explain what happened, like why this offensive lineman got beat by the defensive lineman, right? Not one person who's watching the game cares about that. 99% of serious football fans did not play football past high school, and almost practically 100% of football, you know, people watching, you know, first of all, 98 have never played any organized football. 99 didn't play past high school. It doesn't, you know, using spider 2Y banana means nothing to anybody. And Tony Romo talks about what will happen and what they should do, right? He talks about football the way someone in a bar or the way when you're watching with your friends. Should they call this timeout now or should they save it for after the 2-minute warning? Should they go for on fourth down or not? That sounds obvious.
Yeah, but no one else can do that because they can't do it. And if they attempted to, they'd be wrong and they'd look stupid.
Yeah, just have smarter announcers is what I'm saying. Because, yeah, Chris Spielman can't do that because he would never be right. And Dan Fouts can't do that because he has nothing to add. I agree. But... The point is, like, just talk about football the way people do when they're with their friends or at a bar. You know, was that a good call or not? They'll never criticize a coach, which even Romo doesn't really kill any coaches.
Yeah.
But even if you just treat it like you're a fan,
but my question is,
much better.
If Romo's so successful at this, why is he on CBS? Why is he not working for a team?
I think he will. I think he will probably get looks. The problem is it's very hard to go... John Lynch goes from being a mediocre announcer to a GM. Now, if Roman wants to be a GM, it's not impossible that he could get a gig, but it doesn't really make sense to hire him, even though Lynch, so far, has, I guess, done an okay job. It doesn't really make sense to hire someone. The way the NFL works, you sort of need to be an assistant first, right? Nobody has ever gotten hired as a head coach in the NFL without... being a coordinator at some level, right? Or at least a quarterback's coach.
And why should Romo give up his cushy job with
no consequences? Why would you do it? His next contract's going to be making as much as you know, most coaches in the league do. His next contract's going to be in the $7 million range. Like, that's not much, you know. What's he going to make? 8 as a coach? Maximum as a rookie coach? Like, it would be very hard to be a coach without having been a coordinator. So you'd have to go way down in pay and way down the ladder and then hope to be good. Doesn't really work. And why would you want to do that? He could be the Phil Simms for the next 25 years and make, you know, well over $100 million. There should be no reason to, unless he's just dying for the competition, there's no reason to go.
But, I mean, in theory, if he is so valuable and so accurate, then a team should pay him enough to make it worth his while.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, just because he has good insights on TV, like, by when he's watching the game, like, by that metric, I should be a head coach. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't think you're accurately predicting, you know, the way that the best defense coordinator in the world would do on every play.
No, but I feel like I've got good takes, Costanza style. I've got some good witty remarks.
By the way, I reject the argument that John Lynch has done a good job. You know, his first season, his team won 6 games. His next season, his team won 4 games. He gave a record contract to a guy who's played 7 games in his career.
I don't think he seems over his head. He's found a bunch of decent players, like, as UDFAs and late in the draft. Obviously, it's too.
Yeah,
How many games would Bill Belichick or you know, any?
Well, he's going to be defined by Jimmy G. If Jimmy G turns out to be a superstar, then he'll be right. But I don't see any evidence of that yet. So
right, they could also be an example of what people have been talking about recently of the $25 million for the Kirk Cousins type player.
Yeah, my kids, by the way, have found all the percussive instruments in this house.
Wait, so you are at your in-laws house in Florida?
Correct.
And your wife is on a spa day. Can't you tell her you have to work?
I am working today. I mean, I've had several work calls with this percussion going on in the background also. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So your wife is on a spa day with her mom, and you are watching 3 children. Why didn't you bring your nanny to Florida? I know that sounds
We actually did sort of think about it, but we did not.
Listen, I could tell you're not from the Five Towns, because you wouldn't have thought about it. You would have been like, you would have just done it.
Yeah, anyhow. Yeah, so that's what's going on over here. But, and I also, and then if you recall last year, or I don't know if you weren't here, obviously, but last year I was here for the NFC and AFC championship games as well. Mm-hmm. And as the Vikings were getting defenestrated by the Eagles, my in-laws decided it was a good time to invite every Yenta.
Yes, this I remember. In the neighborhood, yeah, this came up on the podcast.
Yeah, so they did this again this year. You know, I was obviously less emotionally invested this year, but it was the same thing. I'm trying to watch arguably the greatest day of football ever, and I have 70-year-old ladies wandering into the room and asking me, "Oh, now I don't like the outfit that that team is wearing with the red shirts. No, that's no good." And so that was
highly irritating.
Yeah,
Nike did start having Jewish ladies design the uniform. So that should fix the problem.
Yeah.
You also had some.
Is this drumming really bad on your end? Because it's driving me nuts.
Oh, it's very annoying.
Oh man. Erez, Kobe, are you guys watching Mr. Rogers?
No. The documentary?
Do you want to watch Mr. Rogers?
Are they mad it got snubbed?
Yeah, Oscars came out today. That was a bad snub. No, we've turned our kids on to Mr. Rogers because instead of watching like PJ Masks or these other terrible shows, mm-hmm. like Mr. Rogers calms them. He speaks slowly, he speaks calmly. It's actually like really well
I
done.
Do,
it works very well.
I do notice that my son goes insane after PJ Masks. Like he like rips apart the house after PJ Masks. That's not a bad idea. But he watches a lot of Ryan's Toy Review now, and I think that's kind of calming also.
Yeah, my kids have never, and my kids are like deep into YouTube, so I don't know why, but they've never got into
it. He never got into it, and then I showed him one for when we did the podcast, and now it's
a that was a mistake.
If you show him one or two, they will never stop watching, and there's like a lot of them at this point.
Yeah, but why would I even need to?
No, you shouldn't, but if you did, like they would be into it. All right, you had some UFC takes. You watched the UFC this Saturday night, and you had some takes, and I want to hear them.
Well, okay, so I have never seen the UFC before other than the Kimbo Slice fight.
You've never watched any Conor McGregor fights, Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar?
No.
Okay, fine.
Never. I mean, I might have seen like a clip here or there, but I've never seen more than 30 seconds.
Okay,
for
fine.
Sure.
So you watched the whole event, the whole 2 hours or whatever?
No, I went in and out, but I saw a big chunk of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I came in first where the, I think the Brazilian
girl was fighting.
Can I ask
why this, you know, wasn't a particularly big deal just because it was on ESPN?
Well, wasn't this like the first time ESPN showed
it? Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was. So I guess they got a lot of viewers like you. That's it. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, the real answer is my father-in-law and my brother-in-law were watching, and I just sort of sat down at the TV.
Are there big MMA guys, your father-in-law and brother-in-law?
Well, my brother-in-law is one of these guys, sort of like Superfan Robbie, who does jiu-jitsu himself and sort of fancies himself as, you know, a whatever.
You're sure he's a douche,
so I think
basically.
He... No, not at all, but, you know, but he's...
Now he'll beat me up.
I don't think he's that advanced. I don't think you have to worry just yet. But yeah, so they were watching it. So I decided, all right, I'll give this a watch. And first of all, I mean, I will say, from an athletic perspective, it's obviously very impressive because it's like so many different sports. And I realize how ignorant this sounds to UFC fans, so I apologize in advance. Mm-hmm. But the first half of it is basically like boxing, except they don't have gloves and there are also a lot of kick.
Yes.
But then at a certain point, they both end up on the ground, and all of a sudden, it's like wrestling. It's like a completely different sport,
yes. Yeah, you could be a great wrestler and a bad striker, or vice versa.
Yeah, so that part is very impressive. The part that boggles my mind, and I hate to get all John McCain here, but how is it in 2019, where we're talking about whether football should exist anymore, and boxing barely exists anymore, how is it the UFC is super popular?
Well, there's less... I mean, first of all, there's less CT study, because the oldest UFC fighter is like 47.
Okay, you don't need CT study to see. Okay, so what was the fight? Peroni or whatever his name is against Alex Fernandez? What are their names? Did I get those remotely correct?
Peroni? No, there was nobody.
There was some veteran.
There
was some veteran. He's got the most wins ever. I think his name is Peroni or something like that.
Oh, Donald Cerrone. Oh, yeah, in the prelims. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so he fought this guy Alex Fernandez or something like
that. Yes, Alex Hernandez. I mean, I'm looking at the thing. I know Cerrone. I don't know Alex Hernandez.
Okay. All right. He kicks the guy in the head. The guy collapses to the ground like with no control of his body.
Yeah.
I don't have a medical degree. That guy's suffering from some kind of a brain injury there.
Now,
and then
that was a pretty historically
okay.
great kick also. That was not
okay.
that was like.
And then he jumps on the guy who's like basically unconscious and punches him in the head about another 8 times
well,
in a row until the
ref
finally stops
job.
The fight.
Yeah.
And my wife happens to come in and sit down right before that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother-in-law and my father-in-law both say, do not let Jen in here. Dr. Jen, of course, as they refer to their sister and daughter.
Yes.
Do not let Dr. Jen in here. If she comes in, it's going to be bad news. So she comes in, she sits down, she sees that fight. And she was so disgusted and upset with us that we were watching this. And, I mean, it is really hard to defend because this guy gets kicked in the head hard. He's basically unconscious.
More
and then he gets punched in the head several times. There's blood.
Yeah.
Like, how is this permitted in 20... how is this any different than the gladiators 2,000 years ago?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. For whatever reason, it has much less CT than boxing and football. I think statistically it does better than boxing and football.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of boggles my mind. Yeah, so I watched that. It was, I mean, honestly, it was somewhat entertaining, but I did feel very, I felt like I was watching Gladiator.
No, I think you'd get over it after, like, the second time you watched. I'm surprised your bigger take isn't Greg Hardy.
Oh, yeah, so then I see that the coming up next fight is Greg Hardy, and then I say to my father-in-law, I'm like, wait a second. So Greg Hardy, the scumbag who, like, beat the crap out of his wife and, you know, threw out a bed with a bunch of guns or whatever the hell else he did, was, like, basically banished from the NFL.
Yeah.
He's welcome with open arms, and he's, like, the headliner
of the
sport.
Oh, yeah, Dana White would let,
like,
the whole ISIS in the UFC if they had, if they could, like, you know, sell some.
Again, the NFL is getting bad PR for stuff that the UFC, like, jumps all over. I just don't understand.
Oh, everybody, because people care about the NFL. But, like, the media doesn't care about the UFC. It's like a clown show.
Yeah, I mean, it's run by, like, Dana White, who's, like, a super Trump supporter, obviously.
He's just a clown.
As opposed to the NFL. And so, yeah, and then Greg Hardy gets on, and then he, like, gets disqualified because he's such a cheater and scumbag that he's even too much of a scumbag for the UFC.
Right, and he would have won, right? I was not watching that fight, but he would have won, right? He just,
except he decided to knee a guy in the head, which is not allowed to do.
It's weird. There should be no rules. Yeah. When they first started it, the intention was for there to essentially be no rules, but they've added a lot of rules.
I thought no eye gouging, no fish hooking, right?
Yeah, no. When they started, the list of rules on Wikipedia is, like, very short. Now they've added.
Yeah, I read that oral history about, like, the very first one in Denver.
Yeah,
where they had the eight people
a tournament. From, like, totally yeah, they used to do tournaments the first few UFCs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it probably was actually more interesting then to see guys with, like, totally different skill sets.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, guys would come in with, like, the gis, like, the karate outfit, and then, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea what's coming.
Right, now it's, one of the problems they have also is, like, boxing, like, if you're, like, 34-6 as a boxer, you're a trash boxer. You have to have, like, zero or one or two losses. Where in the UFC, it doesn't really exist. Like, yeah, the guy who just beat Conor Khabib Nurmagomedov is undefeated, but, like, most of these guys are, like, you could be elite and be like 21-12, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now having seen it, would you watch UFC again? Like, if it was on ESPN,
I wouldn't make a point of doing it. I wouldn't make a point of doing it, but if I sat down with a group of people who are also doing it, and I was, you know, pleasantly buzzed, and I was having a good time with my friends, I can see watching it. Yeah. But I'm not about to become like
now,
a
now. How would you fix the sport? Because you watched and you said you had some takes for how to fix the UFC.
Oh well, no, I mean that was just a joke. You know how like idiot like Bill Simmons is of the world who watched a World Cup every 4 years. Say, now the problem with soccer is this onside penalty. Yeah, you know, like I'm not actually going to be one of those people.
Yeah, I mean they've had a very tough time building stars. One, because these guys lose. Two, because once they get rich, they don't fight or they go to Hollywood like Ronda Rousey tried to do, but she was such a bad actress that she went to the UFC.
Well, after watching a couple fights, I would want to fight as little as possible if I could.
Sure. But, you know, you have very few, like, how many big money fights are you possibly going to have, even if you get to the top? Only a couple. You sort of have to keep winning.
It's impossible to be Tom Brady in this sport.
Right, exactly. Like, eventually, time will get you, and you will start losing. Like, Mayweather is probably going to retire undefeated, but, like, you know, in the UFC, it doesn't really happen.
Like, when they brought up the fact that this Cerrone character had the most wins ever,
yes.
They said that, like, in the run-up to fight. I to me, and I know nothing about UFC, that was an obvious way of saying, oh, so this guy's a mediocre fighter. Because the greatest fighters wouldn't have the most
correct.
Wins.
Correct, right. Yeah, he's even now, later in his career, he fights, like, 3 or 4 times a year. Because, you know, if you could make $100,000, $200,000 fighting, you do it a few times a year. Whereas, like, Conor McGregor makes $20 million, he's only going to do it once.
Yeah. It's a sport where you want to participate in the sport as little as possible if you're a participant in the sport.
Right, Cerrone's fought 7 times since January 2017. Like, most elite guys have probably fought 2 or 3 in that span. He's also lost 4 of them.
Do you consider yourself a UFC fan?
See, it's funny, because Chuck Klosterman had that great take, which was like, there's no casual UFC fan, which is like, everyone either watches everyone, but I say I'm casual. Like, I check the results for almost every event, but I only watch the really big ones. I sort of see, like, who are the prospects? I at one point did have a Chester-type top 10 list for everybody, but it was just too much to update. There used to be, like, 60 people in the whole UFC, and now there's, like, 400, because there used to be 5 divisions. And so they added women, that's, like, another 3, and then they added the small guys, too. So now I think there's, like, 10 belts or something. It's just impossible to track. Like, even diehard can't really track what's going on. And there's way more fights. There used to be a UFC every month. Now there's, like, a UFC, you know, which used to be called Fight Night, now it'll probably be called UFC on ESPN. So they do like 20 cards a year at least. It's very hard to track. You know what? We don't have a topic for next week, so we need people to send in. Do you want to watch the Royal Rumble and do the Royal Rumble next week? Because that's on Sunday night.
I think we tried that last year, right? That's the one where 30 people keep coming in and you don't know who's coming.
You don't know what the Royal Rumble is?
No, I do. 30 guys come out one at a time.
Yes.
Yeah. You made me watch it a couple years ago.
Yeah, and we've never had the Fades on this podcast. He was a very frequent guest of the original 32 Fans podcast.
He's hard to nail down.
I know he wants to come on. I think he would, but we've asked him like 20 times to come on the show, but then we sort of cancel.
He asked to come on, yeah, but then when we actually offer him, he's not available.
So would you watch the Royal Rumble for next week's podcast?
Sure. If you send me a link, I got to log in with your password or that whole complicated thing. I will take notes. We can do that for next week's podcast. Yeah, but let's get a third guest on, whether it's the Fades or whoever else. Let's get somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. Let's talk about the Super Bowl for a minute, because next week's we'll do a Super Bowl wrap up, but we're not going to do a preview next week, I don't think. So, first of all, I am going to pick the Patriots. Are you picking the Rams or the Patriots?
I mean, this is a tough one. So, I think I might do what I did with the Rams and the Saints, where I took the points, but took the Saints to win.
But there are no points. Isn't there like 1.5 right now?
Well, yeah. So, the Rams are clearly the better team.
It opened at -1. I guessed it would be Patriots -2.5 or -3. So I was way off.
Well, so I had guessed, yeah.
-1 is a pick. In a postseason game, -1 is a pick 'em, right? There's literally no difference between
the two. Well, so here's the thing. You could have a pick 'em spread because, right, it's not going to be a push because there's no ties in the playoffs. There is no more public game of in all of sports than the Super Bowl, right? Like, most people who bet on the Super Bowl do not bet the rest of the year, barely watch football, right. I would guess. Mm-hmm. So obviously the Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to be the favorite over a team where my wife doesn't even know what city they play in, mm-hmm. nor do most people who live in that city, I would guess. So I understand why the line is, you know, New England -2, but the Rams are clearly the better team other than at quarterback and even at coach, I would say. You know, usually obviously Belichick's an advantage, but the Rams have a better defense. The Rams have better skill position guys. I mean, the Rams are the better team. I'm gonna take those 2 points, mm-hmm. but I guess I would probably, I'd probably pick the Patriots, gun to my head, just because that's the life.
But you're gonna be rooting for the Rams.
Well, of course. I mean, everyone is.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see I don't know. Are people gonna be excited for the Super Bowl? I guess it doesn't matter. You're gonna watch it anyway. But I'm just not excited.
Yeah, I haven't been excited for a Super Bowl in my lifetime. So,
I mean, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. My dad takes my mom out during the Super Bowl. Any restaurant you could get a reservation, it's empty. What's it called? The Todd Gurley thing with the meme with him holding that he posted with him holding the referee's uniform and the referee holding his uniform. Did you see that? Mike Francesa thought it was real.
Yeah, that was very funny. Mike Francesa's a moron.
It's funny because, like, never watch your heroes get old. You know, he's gotten old, and man, like, is he showing his ass right now? Like, he is so dumb. You know what you need? Like, if I was that rich, just have like a social media expert, just like approve all your posts and everything you say. Have some 22-year-old kid working at who's at Queens College, like working for free.
Yeah,
guys, Chester is paying attention to his kids. He's not paying attention to the podcast right now. What are your kids up to?
No, I'm actually I'm just thinking like this 2020 Democratic campaign is going to be like a miserable experience.
That's what you're thinking about right now during the podcast. The 2020.
Yeah, we should do a Royal Rumble of like the 20 Democratic candidates, I think.
How do they Royal Rumble?
I don't know. You put it in your video game and you let them come out one at a time.
Well, so a lot of them are women. I was told that they can't do an intergender Royal Rumble.
Yeah, doesn't WWE know we live in a post-gender society?
There should be an agender option, I agree, for the Royal Rumble. I'm sure Vince McMahon and Linda, who's in the Trump administration, are working on that right now. So you posted your preferred candidates. Are you getting a lot
right
of...
Right now. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to change.
Well, you also don't know. Bernie hasn't said he's running. Even Biden hasn't declared, right?
I included the ones... The New York Times is different categories. I included the ones in the likely to run category.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I will say this. I, you know, I've never had a tweet go viral. I'm not like Super Kiwi with his 2,000 followers or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought for sure if I've ever had a tweet that deserved to go viral, other than I guess maybe my Game of Thrones one, which got 70 or 80 likes or something like that. I thought my 10-year challenge, my Saints 10-year challenge one. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, so let me see this tweet. Can you explain it while I look for it? Because I didn't even see it.
Which one?
Oh, okay. So your 10-year challenge, cheaters never prosper. So 2009, this is good. That should have gone viral. It's them cutting off Favre's head. You know, It's or you know what you should have done? You needed to post it into like the Viking subreddit or the Ram, like a not like a Falcons, Vikings or Ram subreddit, like somewhere where they're anti Saints right now.
Yeah, I'm not a Redditor.
Right.
Is that how you get things to go viral?
I think that's,
you get your
I think
Reddit
that's
fans
the way. Yeah, I think that's the way. That particular tweet would have gone viral. But it is a really good tweet. You could link it in the show. I don't even know some of the people. You ranked 20 people, like Hickenlooper. There's a guy named Hickenlooper running. Is that John?
So John Hickenlooper is the governor of Colorado. Uh-huh. He went to college with my dad, and also he was the boss of my friend from law school, who was the marijuana policy director.
So he
for the
was
state
so he that's
Colorado,
like a
Andrew
that's
Friedman.
Like a sympathy eighth slot, even though obviously like I've
no well, okay no the reason he has no chance is because he's very into bipartisanship and like working across the aisle.
Nobody knows who he is. He's not famous. You have to be famous to be in these things. It's quick.
He's the governor of a pretty major state.
There's somebody named Bullock. I assume that's Sandra Bullock, 14.
No, Steve Bullock. No, he's a guy who I basically never heard of before. Like I read that he was running for president a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So the ones I never heard of, independent of the running for president, would be Bullock, Delaney, Yang, Delaney, and Ojeda. Yeah.
Probably
so
Ojeda,
four.
Like Bobby Ojeda. No.
Ojeda, whatever. Yeah, he's like a Trump supporter from West Virginia.
Did you not know that Bobby Ojeda's name was Ojeda until right now?
No, I knew that he was, but okay. I'm guessing this guy is like, I mean, I guess he's probably Latino with that name, but he probably voted for Trump over Hillary in 2016. So if you're Latino
and
you vote
for
Trump,
the,
you
and
lose
he's
the right
for the Democratic spot.
Yeah, then you lose the right to pronounce your J's
as
soft J's.
If he's a Trump supporter running for the Democratic, not I don't know this guy, but
so who's Joe Friedman? Joe Friedman is some guy who just tweeted at me his own ranking.
Mm-hmm. I don't know him.
And he is Tulsi Gabbard number one. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is like a complete scumbag.
Maybe he's Tulsi Gabbard's like a press secretary.
Well, I'm just not sure if he's being tongue-in-cheek or if he's being serious.
No, I just clicked on this tweet. He's got his profile is hashtag Fire Bruce Allen.
Okay.
Hashtag Tulsi 2020. So he's a Tulsi supporter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's a supporter of...
Is Oscar De La Hoya running? He has Oscar De La Hoya 29th.
I don't know. She's a supporter of dictators around the world like Assad. And she is violently anti-LGBT. So she's sort of apologized for the latter. For the former, she says, well, it's okay to have met with him. Like, yeah, it's okay to meet with him. It's not okay to spout his party line. So Tulsi Gabbard also, who sort of played around with supporting Trump. Yeah, so she's no good.
Yeah, everybody came to this football podcast, the week of between the championship games and the Super Bowl for some Tulsi Gabbard takes.
Yeah, anyway, that's what people are coming to this podcast for.
All right, so yeah, tell us what you want to hear next week. Royal Rumble, something else. This was truly an electric episode. One of the best ones.
Yeah, if we had recorded this Sunday night, it would have been a lot better. But
I wanted to record it yesterday. You were with your freaking kids all day. Your wife doesn't know your work schedule. Just tell her you're working all day, and that she's got to watch the kids. That's what I do. It works well.
Yeah.
I mean, it works well, like, not for my marriage. You have a good marriage.
She needs her spa day. She works hard. My wife works 67 days a year. All right, she deserves a spa.
6 or 7 days a year. Yeah, that's 6 or 7 more than my wife.
All right, I got more kids crying. We're going to wrap up this podcast.
All right, keep it real, everybody.
All right, I will Royal Rumble with you next week.
By the way, I did say if I could wrap up, my dad and my wife were ragging on me because they realized I don't know any kids' names. Like, my cousins... like friends' kids. I don't know anybody's kids' names. And my dad's like, I bet you know Chester's kids' names. And I'm like, well, I know like there's an Erez, but I don't know his kids' names. And actually, there was a person there who knew one of your kids' names because you sort of made the news with naming one of your kids. And then I said I didn't know, but then you posted your kids' names yesterday. So now I sort of know them, even though I think these are fake names. What is a bland meal? Can you explain that also?
I don't know. As opposed to most airplane meals, which are so flavorful. I just love the whole words of the Turkish thing. Like, you can rendezvous with... Like, they use the word rendezvous twice in one sentence.
I don't eat on the plane anyway. Are you a plane eater? Do you eat on the plane?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends. What, if you fly a lot, you get good food because you can have actually normal food as opposed to packaged
garbage.
You don't
get good food. Like, it's... Unless you're in first class or business, like, you don't get good food.
Yeah, it's fine.
You should really become one of these guys that flies business and you put your family in coach. Those are the classy guys. You should start doing that.
Yeah, I need to ask my boss for another raise. He just gave me a microphone raise, so I, you know.
Yeah, he gave you an extra $50, and now you just need how much is a business class ticket to Florida? It's not that bad.
All right, are we discussing anything else? Are we discussing the Oscars at all? Are we discussing the baseball?
I
know.
I think we'll save our movie
down
takes. Yeah, you could talk about the Hall of Fame. We'll save our movie takes for the movie podcast soon.
All right. Well, the Hall of Fame takes aren't going to be, we're not going to know who won until after we're done recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. So The only question is Mussina in this year or next year? Because he's going to be very close.
I think Mussina will end up with 72 and he'll get in next year easily. Edgar will end up with, I'm going to say, with.
And then I guess the only other question is, do a couple guys who should be in drop off the ballot altogether?
No, I think we know who's going to drop off the ballot. I think Young is going to drop off the ballot. I don't think there's any suspense. The only shocker would be Pettit, but I think Pettit should stay on with like 6%. But Pettit has an actual chance of falling off the ballot, which would be insane.
Yeah, you think he's going to fall off the ballot? Wow.
No, oh, he's only at 6% right now.
I thought everybody liked him, even though he admitted that he took steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, otherwise he would be near Mussina.
All right, Keith. This is enough podcasting for this week. I got to go deal with my kids.
All right, have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, these late nights and these long drives, full moons under dark skies, tears fall behind phone screens, lonely hearts lead to bad dreams, wish that I could be there for you, I hope the life will be fair for you, it's hard to sleep cause I'm always thinking and passing out off of codeine, and I hope you know that I'm not complaining, hope you know I appreciate it, every day's just filled with love, man, every day is just thanks and praises, but memories of your birthdays, they get me in the worst ways, and you say that it's okay, when you get home we can celebrate. Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans front the stage I'm standing on. I want you to know I appreciate it. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Mom, I gotta go, the curtain's calling. All the way from Rome, I'm really sorry. Tell my little sister, I said hey. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Not the money, not the fame, love the struggle, love the pain. After all that we have gained, we realize we're all the same. Sacrifice, my brothers cried, we've been gone when family died. Losing my focus, symphony's open, singing my opus. Just for a moment, one day I'll get home, we can throw a big party. Invite all the people that helped us get started. To all of you artists that feel like a martyr, don't ever give up, you just gotta go harder. Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans from the stage I'm standing on. Celebrate.